Had to hear that last speaker, and that's pretty good applesauce. I said that because this morning he said his applesauce was being voted for more than my applesauce. His Mott's applesauce over Musselman's applesauce. It reminds me. I went to this church one time, and pastor forgot my name. So when I got up there, I told him. I said, "You remember it through Musselman's applesauce." So he invited me to come back, and the next time I came. I'm sitting back there, and he's real serious. He said, "Will Mr. Applesauce please come forward?" It's a blessing to be here. What a beautiful building. And Brother Lance has been here for a while now. How long have you been here? What, 5 years? That's good. That's good. They say some preachers stay about, what, 2.5 years? I guess they stay until all the outlines they had in Bible school run out, and then they go to the next church. But he's really had a blessing because his son's up here leading a singing as youth director, and that's a real blessing when your son can work in the ministry with you. So we thank him for letting us be here today and having fellowship with one another. I'm always glad to preach at a preacher's meeting because I really feel they're sympathetic. I don't know why, but I always feel that, and so it's just a blessing to be here with you today. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, I thank you we can be here, and I thank you for the fellowship that we have because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we'll see your glory today, and I pray that we will draw closer to you and one another and be fired up because of the glorious privilege we have of serving you and working for you. Help us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I ask you if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not." And then if you look in verse 16, the key to the chapter is usually mentioned a couple times. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I like that verse, you know. "Our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed from day to day." When you get past 60, you'll understand that verse a little better. And anyway, it says, "We faint not." I remember when I was a small boy, I went and took music lesson downtown. A lady take me down there and take the lesson. And then it was really crowded about a block from the public square in Cleveland. One day we were coming back, and this lady had fainted, and as a small boy, that was very shocking to me to see this lady lying on the sidewalk. And we, as Christian workers, from time to time can get to the point where we faint. That is, we just don't seem to have the energy or strength after being knocked down a number of times to just keep on going. Now, if you're going to resign on Monday morning, just wait. If you decide to resign Monday morning, you better wait till Monday night, you know, because maybe you'll change your mind. You're taking all that energy out of you from preaching all day Sunday, and so you get a little bit depressed on Monday morning. But if we're in the Christian ministry, if we're doing anything for the Lord, it is a continuous battle. The Bible says it's warfare. The Bible talks about having armor of your warfare. The Bible talks about continually being in a battle. And if you're not in a battle, something's wrong. Because if you're shooting at the devil, he's shooting back at you, see? And he's going to use all of his artillery and whatever he has to shoot back at you. And so it is a continuous warfare. And it is possible to get to the point where you get so weak you're just going through the motions. And Almighty God in this chapter has given us reasons why we should not faint, and he has given us things to help us so that we will not faint if we fainted to get back up again. I want you to notice, first of all, that he says we should not faint because we have this ministry. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Preacher, how long do I have now? I want to be here on time. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad they got a clock in the back. I can see that thing. I always look at my clock and then go over, you know, but I can see that one real well. So it says here, we have this ministry. Because we have it, we faint not. If we were a teacher, we would be teaching people things that would last for this life, possibly 30, 40, or 50 years longer. But if we're teaching the Word of God, we have something that will last through all eternity. If we were a nurse, we would simply be helping a person to feel better in this life. But when we are working for the Lord and teaching for the Lord, we have something that will help them and heal them through all eternity. If we were a doctor, we would help them be healed in this life. But as a preacher, the healing that takes place, that once again will last for eternity. If we were a politician, we might straighten a few things out for just a little bit of time. But if we're working for Jesus Christ, what we do will last through all eternity. And therefore, we have the greatest ministry in the whole world. And therefore, God said we should not faint. We have a ministry that we're working together with the Lord. And He is helping us. We're working together with the God of this universe. Therefore, we should not faint. I believe that if we are in the place where God wants us to be in the ministry, whatever it is, I believe that we are going to be a blessing, and therefore also we are going to be blessed. I mean, it's a blessing, it's a joy to work for the Lord. He's blessed me more than I would ever dream, you know. This morning I was thinking about this, but Brother Mott was saying he's working for Brother Lewis, and in 1979 I had him in the class in the Bible Institute, you know. And now his church is booming, and what a blessing to hear that, see. But God wants to bless you in the ministry and use you as a blessing to others. And so we may not come into it with much, but God wants us to come into it thinking like that. And we give our loaves and fishes to the Lord, and He will bless those loaves and fishes, and He will multiply them because He will back us in the ministry He has given to us. And there's times in my life where I'm witnessing and doing everything I could, and I didn't see results, but it reminds me, just recently I planted some grass in my backyard, and it says it's supposed to come up in 3 or 4 days. And I was out there every day looking for that to come up, but it didn't come up. But it started coming up about 2 weeks later. And there's things that you sow, the Word of God you sow, that will come up later. If I could have seen some of the people I witnessed to and I talked to when nothing seemed to be happening, and I could see what would happen in the future, I would have been more motivated. So you don't know what's happening below the surface. It takes a while for that seed to sprout sometimes, come up. I was telling one of my friends, Mark, I said, man, this 1 year at my church, I said, it just seemed like nothing was happening. And about a day or two later, I went down the lakefront. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I went down the lakefront at night and was walking out on the pier, and a guy was fishing out there, and I didn't recognize him because the last time I saw him, he was probably about 12 years old. But he recognized me, and we got to talking, and he said, that other fellow that you picked up in that van when I thought nothing was happening, he's a preacher now, you know. And that's the way it works, you know, and so we should not faint because we're in a ministry, and God is going to bless what we do for Him. Now, secondly, we shouldn't faint because we have received mercy. And it says, and I'll read this verse again. Therefore, seeing as we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And think about it. Every day when we're saved, God has new mercy for us every day. You say, well, I blew it. Well, then God got new mercy for you. Look at Peter. Jesus at his most critical moment when he was going to be beaten and going to the cross. And Peter cursed and sweared and said, I do not know this man. And yet Peter was the one to open the gospel to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. And God had mercy on him. We look at King David, and he messed up like no one has ever messed up. And he committed adultery, and he murdered the woman's husband. And because of this, there was a war that took place years later, and thousands of people were killed. And yet David was the one that could say his mercies are new every day. He has mercy every day for us. We live in the mercy of God, not in His judgment. We look at the Apostle Paul and think about this, having this head over your head. Paul, before he got saved, he was actually torturing Christians and causing them to blaspheme and killing Christians. And he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so Paul had the mercy of God. And so we could say that every day God is going to bless us anew with new mercies every day. Therefore, if we blow it, if we mess up, if we sin, confess it and get up and start all over again. And then we shouldn't faint because we have the Word of God in verse 2. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I want you to notice something there. It says handling the Word of God. They have the invisible church, and now they added to that the invisible Bible. And evangelicals are still teaching that every word of the Bible is true. I hear people from their churches, every word, the Bible is the Word of God. It's infallible, inspired, and every word is true. I said, which one, you know? Boy, then they're really confused. The modern Bibles leave out the name of Jesus in 100 places. I have the evidence right here in the Bible, you know. They've changed it in 45,000 places. And there's two dolly worshiping evolutionary monkey men named Westcott and Hort by their own quotations. And they put out a text in 1881 that says the New Testament in original Greek. And brother, it was original, all right. It was original to them because it never existed before they came along. And now today, man, they put every word in the Bible under question, see? But you know what it says here? It says we can handle it, you know? Isn't that wonderful? We can handle it. That's what it says, see? Not only that, James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. Do we believe that today? That we can look at the perfect law of liberty? Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. He says we have it. We have it. We have it. Amen? And it's more sure, he says, he saw Jesus Christ in all his glory. And not only that, he said that he had heard the voice of God the Father out of heaven. And he says we got something more sure than that. Because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. See? And we ought to believe that. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, not in the post-Vatican library, but in my heart thy word. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. I know I said it, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus said that the word of God is the word of truth, that we believe it is true. John said, the word of truth which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. See? What's he talking about there? I'm telling you, some of our schools say that it's heresy to believe that. Paul says, you know, that's what they call us in the history book. Baptists, they call us heretics, you know? You know, they call Paul a heretic. You know why? Because he says, after the way that they call heresy, I worship the God of my fathers, believe in all that is written in the law and the prophets. He reads the Bible and believes everything he reads in it, and they call him a heretic. Paul says, the Bible says we have it, you know? We have it. We ought to believe it. It says we shouldn't handle it deceitfully. Say we have it, and then don't believe we have it. Amen? Man, I got some Bible believers out there. Thank you. I feel better now. We should not faint because of the glorious gospel of Christ in verse 3 and 4. It says here, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. It's the glorious gospel, because it has the power to transform people's lives. It has the power to take us to heaven when we die. And the gospel, as we all preach, is Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But you know, I think in listening to folks witnessing to people in soul winning, we need to emphasize the first word of that is Christ. Because we can use the Romans Road or whatever we use, but if we don't emphasize who Christ is, when it's time to ask the person to accept him, they're looking at him as just another religious leader, and it's very easy to turn him down. The New Testament emphasizes, and I believe we need to tell people this, that he was God in a human body, and talk about his incarnation. And another thing, four gospels are given to this, but we need to tell people why he was God. Jesus says, if I had not done the works that I had done, then he said, you would not have sinned. Even though they had the Old Testament prophecy. And in front of hundreds of Israelis, hundreds of thousands of Israelis, I believe, if we look at the gospel accounts, he demonstrated total power over everything. When he went to a funeral, he turned it into a resurrection. When there was a leper there, he touched the leper, and his leprosy went away, and his skin became clean. And Jesus went to the funeral of Lazarus. Lazarus had been 4 days dead. Jesus, Mary and Martha said, if you pray to the Father, he'll give you what you want. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Take me to the tomb. There's nobody in all of history that could say anything like that. And brother, I'll tell you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to show him that he was God and that he died for our sins and then that he bodily rose from the dead. And I'll tell you, it'll have an effect on them when you ask people to receive him, because they know that they will be turning down God. But the glorious gospel, I have a friend of mine, he got saved recently. He's going to our Bible Institute. And John said the night before he almost overdosed before he got saved. But when he got saved, he said he was on crack cocaine and the Lord took every desire away from him. Just like that. He has no desire whatsoever. Our God is the living God. He is alive and he is well. And we have a glorious gospel that we can preach. Over there in right above Valley View, there's a road called Granger Road, and there's a real steep hill there. It goes down to a big boy restaurant. And a guy was in a truck, and the brakes gave out, and he came barreling down the hill. Instead of moving over to the side and possibly losing his life, he went through the intersection at Canal Road, and it was just a terrible, bloody mess with cars on fire all over the place. And they took him off to jail, and one of the guys from the church went there and witnessed to him, and he said, "God wouldn't forgive us. Forgive me." And the guy could say, "Yes, he'll forgive anybody." D.L. Moody said that if the person that put the spear in his side accepted Jesus Christ, God one day would give him a scepter so he could reign with him. He said the person put the crown of thorns on his head, one day God exchanged that for a crown if he would put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we have a glorious gospel that we can preach. It's wonderful. There's nothing like it in the history of the world. And we need to preach it. We should not faint because of Christ Jesus the Lord. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I believe that every service we ought to thank the Lord for being here. And every service we need to preach Jesus Christ to the sinners and to the saints. I noticed in the New Testament, every problem that came up in the church, it was answered by preaching Jesus. For every single problem that came up, they preached Jesus to them. I used to wonder, sometimes I'd go to a service and it just seemed like something was missing. I couldn't figure it out. What was missing in the service? Why? What was happening? One day I was listening to a message and I figured it out, because sometimes we just preach and we don't glorify Jesus Christ. In every service we ought to glorify him. And I'll tell you, the church is dead and people don't want to do anything and just start preaching Jesus until those old bones start coming together and the flesh comes on, and until the life comes back in the flesh, and people will be wanting to volunteer and young men will be wanting to be preachers and go into the ministry. Because of our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, he always remains exciting. There's nothing more exciting in all the universe than talking about Jesus Christ. That Air Force Command, you know, the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union, all they're concerned about is stopping people from hearing about Jesus Christ. They spend millions and millions of dollars to do that. They're having some lawsuit, I guess, at the Air Force Academy, because they had one coach there, and he put up some kind of a sign about Jesus, and my goodness, that's persecution, you know, to the heathens. And they're all upset and all disturbed and everything about that, and some people are witnessing about Jesus Christ. But we are to preach him at all times, daily in the temple, every house. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We ought to think of every conceivable way, with God's help, to preach Jesus Christ to the whole town. Take literature door to door and put all kinds of stuff in that packet and give it to the whole town. And then have people witnessing door to door. And get your church talking about Jesus Christ. And fill the town. That says they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the most wonderful person in the history of the universe. You know, that'll get a church fired up every time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, look at this. And this is how God works. This is how the Holy Spirit works. It says, while we look not at the things which... No, wrong verse. Verse 18, chapter 3. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. How are people changed? When they see the glory of the Lord. They see the glory of Jesus in His power. They see the glory of Jesus in His holiness. They see the glory of Jesus Christ in His love. And when they hear that, I mean, something happens. People are saying, well, you don't have to go out of church feeling good all the time, man. I tell you, I believe, I don't care what you preach, man. If you're preaching Jesus, they ought to be feeling good when they go out. And they're going to go out feeling good, and they're going to be telling people about Jesus, and people are going to be coming back, and they'll go out feeling good, you know. That's the only reason. The only thing keeps you in the ministry is Jesus Christ. And what an exciting person He is. He's the living God. He's alive and well. And then we should not faint because of the power of God. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. I'm glad Jesus didn't tucker out, or He hasn't fainted, gone to sleep. His power is still around. Our church, we just made an offer to outgrowing the church, and not enough parking, not enough room, not enough Sunday school room. I mean, just packed out. So we just made an offer to buy 3 acres in Westlake. We got a good price, $215,000. And I don't know if it was the exact same day that this happened, and this was just Sunday or Monday, something like that. I was with the preacher, I think, when he got the call. But within either that day or within one day of that time, a lady donated a house worth $400,000. That's $400,000 belonging to our church. Amen? You know, I tell you, that is not the exception of the rule, because as I'm preaching from church to church, everybody got a story like that. I mean, years ago, I was working for about 4 or 5 months to get a church building for our congregation, and a whole thing collapsed. And the end of the story was we were in the building within 1 month and owned the building. Amen? Brother Tim, he started church down in Akron, Ohio, and he knew that any time the building could be sold, and his wife was in this building, and Brother Tim had a lot of faith. He says, well, the Lord will get us another building. And so she's in the building, and these guys come in the building, and they say, well, we're going to change this wall, we're going to change that wall. In other words, they had bought the building. And I don't know if she had called him, but before she even called her husband up, somebody called on the phone and said, Pastor said he's resigning, and would you take this church right nearby here, you know? They got another building right away. And I can tell story after story like this. I mean, what? God is still alive and well, see? And you know what He says for the power to follow? We don't even have to pray for a long time. He says, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have said unto you, and lo, I'm with you. And He said, all power is given unto me. And so you go out and just start witnessing, and the power will follow. Amen? I just think of all the stories. Brother Jim Mails, he's going to come, but we had a death at the church, and he went to Scotland as a young man, hadn't pastored. And he thought, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there are a bunch of people, only less than 2% are going to church, and most of them think that their ancestors hung by their tails. And he thought, well, I'm going to go there, and I don't know what's going to happen, you know, but I'll give it a shot. For so many years, he didn't tell anybody, but he had so much time, you know. So he goes out there after getting his family in the house, starts knocking on doors, and one of the first people he comes to, the guy says, what are you doing here? He says, well, I came to start a Baptist church. What's that, you know? He says, well, we're coming to try to get people saved. This guy's real gruff and asking him all those questions, you know. And when he gets done questioning me, he says, I have been praying for that for the last 5 years. I'll be there Sunday. And he was there. Amen. And they compared notes and found out that when he dedicated himself to go to Scotland, it was when that guy started praying for it, you know. I mean, Larry Clayton says, we don't have a miracle. Our church is closed down. Our church has got to go on miracles, man. That's the only way. Amen. God said His power will follow us through the ages. I think of my friend Gary Lucas. He goes into Novosibirsk, and some lady came out there to help him when he's giving out tracts, and Russian lady, and she says, you going to start a church with these pieces of paper? Maybe you heard him say that, you know. They just kicked him out of Russia, you know, and he left there with the church, Bible Institute, and local college professors doing the preaching. Amen? I mean, our God can do anything. He's alive and well today. During the Dark Ages, every time they witnessed, during the Dark Ages, they knock on a castle door, and they witnessed for Jesus Christ, and they knew that that witness could bring them a trip to jail, and they'd never get out until they took them out and burned them alive after torturing them. And they did it anyway, because they had the power of God backing them up. And I'm telling you, the power of God is still alive and well today to help us. And we need to just get out there and keep on talking. You ought to read the story of Obadiah Holmes. Dr. John Clark was his pastor, and he was a glassmaker, and he went into Boston. And they had a blind man named William Witter, who was a member of that congregation. And they held a service on Sunday morning, and the Puritans arrested him, Puritan police. And they said to Dr. John Clark, "What right have you to be here? And who gave you a license?" And he says, "I was licensed by the Lord Jesus Christ." Kentucky, they want to give you a license now, I hear. And so they arrested him. They took him to the Puritan meeting, and he stood up facing the rear because he didn't want to be there with his hat on. So they put him in jail. Somebody paid the fine for John Clark, but Obadiah Holmes stayed in jail, and they were going to make an example out of him. So they took him out on the Boston Commons, and they started to beat him. And Obadiah Holmes said, "I always heard that the Lord would be with you in time of trouble, but his glory is more real to me." And he goes on and on witnessing how wonderful it is while he's getting the fire beat out of him, you know, and praising the Lord. And the president of Harvard University was there, Dr. Dunster, and he saw this, and he began to study about believers' baptism. And when his second son was born, he stood up in a congregational church and told the congregation why he wasn't going to have him baptized. And he went out and talked to a guy named Brother Gould and convinced him. He became a Baptist and became a pastor of a Baptist church in Boston in the 17th century. And they tried to nail his church up, but we're still going strong today. You know why? Because we have the power of God with us. And we got to just go out and do what the Lord said. And then we shouldn't faint also because of the resurrection. In verse 14 of our chapter, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you." Brother, the Lord's going to raise us up. Somebody said to Norris one time, "Man, I hate to think about that. They're going to put me in that casket and we're going to bury the casket in the dirt. And then after a while those worms will crawl in." And Norris said, "Well, you may be there, but I'm not going to be there. See, boy, before they come to get me, put me in that casket, I'm going to be rejoicing with Jesus in heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord." John Rawlings said one time, he used to pray, he says, "Lord," he says, "I like to be preaching when I get a heart attack or die." He says, "Let me be up there preaching." Then he thought about it for a while, and he says, "Lord, cancel that prayer." He says, "When I die, I want all my family to be gathered around. If I'm in the hospital and they have all those tubes in me," he says, "I'm going to pull them out of my nose, pull them out. I'm going to raise my hand and say, 'Glory to God, I'm going home.'" I think Brother Rawlings has canceled that one out too. He's probably praying to stay alive till the rapture. You know, he's so old now. Maybe Lee Roberson, the same thing. It's amazing about those guys. But we have the resurrection to look forward to. I'm praying the Lord keep me in one piece to the rapture too. You probably pray like that when you get up there too. We shouldn't faint, finally, because all things are for our sake. Verse 15, "For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Now, how can you beat that? Everything is for our sake. One day when we get to heaven, we're going to sit on the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it's in the King James Bible here. It says that one day our enemies are going to come, go get down on their knees and worship before our feet. And they're going to say, "He was right all along." Those newspaper reporters and those college professors and those heathen religion people, they're going to say, "We were right, brother. We were right." In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "For I'm persuaded that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." You think about this, brother. If you die, it's for good. If you don't die, it's for good. I'll tell you something. If you leave the church, it's going to be for good if something happens. And if you don't, it's going to be for good. You know? Think about that. If you lose a friend, it's going to be for good. And if you don't lose a friend, it's going to be for good, because it says all things work together for good. If you have a job and you lose the job, it's going to be for good. And if you keep the job, it's going to be for good. We can't lose. Amen? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like Jesus. And David says, I'll be satisfied when I wake up in his likeness. And in the book of Isaiah, it says, talks about the dead rising from the dead. And it says they're going to wake up singing, brother. We're going to wake up singing and rejoicing and praising God forever and ever. So if you're faint today, just set the example and keep on talking to people. Amen? And see the Lord bless it. And see the Lord work in your life. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can't beat that. The God of this universe has all power in heaven and earth. Never leave us nor forsake us. Praise the Lord.